welcome back to another Co-opticast. It's been a while, folks. It was, what, E3 time since we last talked, a little post-E3. And, well, we took some time away. We needed to recoup a bit. And frankly, there wasn't much going on. It's Monday, July the 16th.
Episode 89, right? Did we say that?
Mike, Locke, Jason, and Nick. We're here.
Yeah.
And let's talk about some games we've been playing, because, well, that's what we do. We play games. How about, Mike, why don't you talk about what you've been doing?
I've just been playing a really large amount of Diablo 3.
That's gross.
My friends and I are farming Inferno mode for gear. So we meet up, we throw on our magic find gear, and then we run through Act 1 and 2 of Inferno and just get massive amounts of loot that we can't use and sell it on the auction house.
You're basically a Chinese gold farmer.
I am. It's
how does that make you feel?
What's that?
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like I will be prepared for the inevitable Blade Runner or Firefly-ization of Western culture. That I can identify with their culture already.
You say you Blade Runner.
Yeah, exactly. And what ties, obviously what ties Blade Runner to Diablo 3 is the presence of the almighty James Hong.
That's right.
Praise be unto him.
Yes, praise be unto him. Praise be to Lo Pan. And coincidentally is what I changed my Twitter avatar to today. But I've also been playing Legend of Grimrock and Might and Magic, Clash of Heroes, both of which I got off the Steam sale. And, not too much other than Diablo. It's really been... I've put like 100 hours into my character at this point. It's kind of sick.
Is that your wizard?
Yes, that character has 100 hours in it. I have beaten the game with other characters as well. Nice. So
well done. You've accomplished a lot in the last 2 months. So
I have like 2,500 achievement points in that game. I've 60% of the available achievements.
Oh man, you should just get them all.
I should. I actually have a hardcore character that's cleared content, so I should.
Nice.
I should probably see if I could beat the game with him.
Your wizard was an integral part of, well, it was the key to us getting to the wonderful Whimsy Shire, which I enjoyed.
Yes, it was. I did get to take you and Andrew through the beauty that is Whimsy Shire.
The land of magical unicorns and cuddly bears.
And awesome.
And Lisa Frank, Trapper Keeper auto maps.
And wicked music. Yeah, it was cool, because I was glad you were there to do that, because I know I'm never going to do that on my own, just unless mm-hmm. by whatever chance I get those random loot drops, so I appreciate that. That was fun. I never need to go back now, because it scarred me, but...
It scarred you? I mean, unicorns aren't that scary.
Yeah, that's true.
And those clouds are just chilling, and you tickle them, and they get all happy and bouncy, and they spit loot out.
Just like real clouds, if you ever go and tickle a cloud in real life.
It actually is. Clouds are pretty benevolent if you know where to touch them, if you know what I'm saying.
Dude, how's that Grimrock?
It's been a month, but yet we haven't lost some beats.
Grimrock is pretty awesome. I've only played it for about 2 hours, and I've cleared the first two floors or so. Found all manner of secrets in the walls because, you know, it's what you do. I'm actually tempted to start over and do a graph paper run.
I also thought about that.
Like, I actually play in the hardcore mode with a graph paper.
But then I was like, wait a minute. That's stupid, because technology can help in so many ways. Like,
yeah, I was kind of hoping that there would be like an in between mode where you'd go like Etrian Odyssey style and let you
map
just
out,
like use the game's interface to craft a map. But you know, it doesn't. But it does let you put notes on the map, and I have made extensive notes. It's excellent. If you like first person like dungeon crawling RPGs, like in the vein of Wizardry or Etrian Odyssey or you know, those old like gold box RPGs from back in the day. It's like $6 on Steam right now, so you'd be a fool not to get it.
And it doesn't mess around, dude. It's a hard game.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess they're going to port it to iPad, which is, like, crazy dangerous, because having a game like that on the go for me would be amazing.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of that style. I had the D&D... I don't remember what it was called, but it was the one where you can basically create your own.
Was that Dungeon Hack?
No, it was. But yeah, so I had to put hours upon hours in creating like a whole big story, and you could do that. You could do the custom color cycling on the color palette.
So it'd be different
and stuff, you know, and all that other.
My fondest memory of that genre was I remember playing a ton of Lands of Lore, and getting to, I remember distinctly, I forget which one it was, I might have been two, but I got to this monster, and it was this giant purple monster that you couldn't kill, and I just ended up, you just reach into your backpack and start throwing items and swords at it, just because you throw it, literally everything, including the kitchen sink, trying to kill this monster. But yeah, I had fond memories of dungeon crawling and exploring, and I don't know about you guys, but I spent, like, half of the game scanning the walls for secrets, just because I found my guys to be really underpowered at the start, and now that I have some levels, like my wizard still hasn't gained a level, so he can't use any of the spells. So, but
yeah, actually, without going too inside baseball to Legend of Grimrock, what I ended up doing is I found out that you only get experience based on your participation in a fight. In the first dungeon, you get a bunch of... There's those skeletons with the spears and shields. And the spears can attack from the back row.
So you're like, wizard, you're in, man.
I gave my wizard a spear, so he would never hit anything, but he would be participating in the combat and get experience. And then, you unlock spells pretty quickly.
First dungeon, my wizard was like... It's like, here you go, you can hold the torch. Aww.
For a while I basically had him hold the torches and the food.
Yeah, and the compass. He was a navigator.
Yeah, but there were also, in the very first room, there's, like, magic equipment that you can find. Like, there's secrets all over the place. So if you bother to go hunting for them, you can get some pretty good gear right away. Like, in the second dungeon, there's a spot where you step on a pressure switch and... like four skeletons
come
at you at the same time, and you're like, how do I do this? So it was a bit of a challenge until I ran around and found some more gear.
Come back.
And also, what I ended up doing is I waited till the first one came out, had him chase me, and then I ran into this cubbyhole.
Just had your back to the wall.
So that I couldn't be surrounded. They could only attack me from the front. And it makes the other guys just walk around the room until they can have their turn. So I felt like I had exploited the AI sufficiently.
Yeah,
I
miss Shadowgate. Cool, I miss Shadowgate. Hearing you guys talk about this.
Oh yeah,
Shadowgate was fun. I liked Deja Vu a lot, DJ Vu. Which was the detective
playing,
version.
Playing the casino
actually,
in the sewers.
What I really miss is actually Ultima Underworld. That game was awesome.
Oh, I never played that. So
Like the Elder Scrolls type stuff kind of gets that freedom to move around, first person RPG. But there's just something about Ultima Underworld that's really special. Yeah, and that's what I have been playing.
All right, Locke, what about you? Yeah. You're
on that,
already mentioned
on
you
that
Grimrock as well.
Kicking my ass. I've been playing... Another thing I got from the Steam sale was Warlock, Master of the Arcane, which, if I were to describe that, it's like a really, really well-polished Civ 5 mod, in that it's a turn-based strategy, hex-based, and it's all wizards and warriors and dragons and that sort of thing. It's like if they took Heroes of Might and Magic and made it into a Civilization mod, and it's really cool. It's very, very well done. The only kind of part where it's lacking, I find, is the AI, in that the diplomacy isn't very good when you go to make a deal. The just outrageous demands from the computer, and you'll be killing them, and they'll be down to one town on their heels, just back to the wall, and they'll still like hold out for like. They're like, no, we're not going to end this war that we started, but that's my only complaint.
Give us some nuclear technology, and we'll think about it.
Pretty much, and that happens to an extent in Civ 5, like wars starting with for no reason. But it just seems that the diplomacy isn't there for Warlock. But it's beautiful. You can pick between when you start, you pick your race, and that determines what units you have. But throughout the game, if you take over a city, say you take over a human city, you'll be able to produce human units. If you take over, say, an undead city, you can produce undead units. So you're not totally limited to that. And it's actually really good to produce different races and mix and match units in your armies, because like I was playing as a necromancer, and I was able to get these ogres, these like ogre magi that could heal my guys, and I didn't have any other healing units, which was really cool. So I drafted them into my army. They didn't really have a choice, but it's cool.
You press gang. Exactly.
In terms of
how are they going to turn you down? I mean,
in terms of things that it does well, like I really like the city building. It's super simple. It's like pick what you want to put on this hex. Pick what you want to put on this hex, and you can build a unit and a building at the same time, which is nice. The research is different. Instead of having like a tech tree full of like the wheel, it's not like, oh, you learn new magic wands. You actually just research spells that you can use, and it's in a pentagon, and you can go kind of down different schools of magic. So if you want to go down like offensive spells, you can get like level 1 fireball, then you can get like fire blast if you keep researching down there, or you can get like stuff that helps your kingdom or stuff that heals your units. So that's different. And yeah, just really liking it. It's cool, and it's I'm really hankering to try it with some humans to see how that goes. And that's kind of tough though, because those types of games, those turn-based strategy games are never fast. So that's like book a day to play a map on that. But it's awesome. Like Warlock is really good. I think it's $20 regular, and now it's like less than 10, and it's a no-brainer if you like that sort of thing. So it's really good. And then the other one is just Spelunky. Like I have a love-hate relationship with that game.
As everyone who plays it does.
Yeah, it's the same. I echo exactly the same as everyone else, being like, this is...
Have you played the original
no,
version
No, I
of
didn't
it?
Ever play... I played, like, original, like, on the Atari, or original, like, the HD remix?
Well, Spelunky is in Flash game? The version of Spelunky that...
No,
I
didn't play
came out about
no,
4 years
the
ago.
Free online one. I didn't play that, so I'm totally fresh to this, but... in terms of the platforming and I really like that it's challenging, and I can't call it unfair, because every mistake you make is yours. You either get too greedy, you rush, or you just take a risk that you might have had or maybe didn't have to do. Like being, okay, I can hop off that enemy over that spike pit and get there without using a bomb, but
instead you
it's
just
really
bomb
cool.
The spike pit, yeah.
Yeah, or just bomb the spike pit, right? But,
it's kind of, it has, it's like Demons and Dark Souls in that it has an awful lot in common with roguelikes.
Yeah, except you don't retain anything if you die. That's the one thing that sucks.
Well, that's roguelike, though.
But even
you generally don't keep
any
true, of your stuff.
That's true, but even in I was spoiled by something like Binding of Isaac, where they actually give you, like, a collectible. I mean, like, yes, you get a check mark for playing this. But yeah, no, I love it. It's really cool, and I can only play it for, like, half an hour, just because I really, for two reasons, I don't like going and, I played on Saturday for, like, 2 hours, and I had nothing to show for it, and I was like, well, that was dumb. I should have just stopped, took a break, came back to it if I wanted to play it some more. And, but yeah, it's so good, but it's so mean.
Yeah, it's a harsh lover, but the rewards are
harsher. Yeah. But I mean, on my best run, I think I made it to level 4-3, and I think there's 5 levels in the whole game, but I made it to 4-3. I had no bombs left. I had like 60,000 in gold or in treasure, which is quite a bit. Like the most expensive item is the jetpack, which is 20,000. But I was rocking like, and I was like getting it down to a strategy based on the items I had picked up. I had the climbing glove where you can climb up walls. I had the cape so you don't fall very fast. And then I also had the compass, which is awesome because it points to the exit, which is super handy in the later levels. So I'm doing really well. I've got like 5 health. And of course the game goes, oh, you're out of bombs. You're on your best run. You have a ton of gold. Let's turn off all the lights. And I'm just like, oh gosh.
Like
you do. So, and that element of randomness just, oh, it's just so good. But again, like, if you don't have any patience, don't play this game. But I think it's something that, you know, there's something in there for everybody. There's something about it being just a pure video game. It's like one of the purest video games I've ever played.
It's really funny if you think about it, because what you're describing is basically every 8-bit and 16-bit.
Yeah, and
you know, it's Sonic, it's Mario, it's, yeah, you die at the wherever, you're start the whole freaking thing over.
Yep.
You know, maybe it's not one life, you know, you're trying to earn extra lives or whatever, but
and I don't know what it is. I'm sure it's age or what modern gaming has done to me, but I'm not that patient anymore, being like, well, I have 400 other games to play. I'm not going to spend my time with this if I can't do anything.
That's really what it is. You know, when we were kids, we had like one game to play all summer.
Here's Spelunky. Have fun for the next 2 months. That's it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'd be doing much. I would know the systems better in Spelunky if I stuck to it. But, you know, you have this gaming ADD where you're like, well, guess I'm going to play Diablo now because that's easy.
Oh, look, there's 30 things on sale on Steam right now. Whoops.
Yeah, so.
Well, it's like Jason knows. I mean, the number of times we played through like the SNES Final Fantasy games because we just didn't have anything new.
Yeah.
And so we would loan our RPGs to our friend Pete, and Pete would play them because his parents didn't buy him any video games.
He's like, thanks, guys. I'm good for the next.
He's like, thanks. Thanks for Secret of Mana. I really love this game. Like, I'd really like that back.
Yeah, that was Shadowrun for me. Someone out there has my copy of Shadowrun.
Oh, Shadowrun.
Yes, you know, someone has my copy of they lost my copy of Mario RPG.
Oh no, that's a terrible one to lose.
And my copy of Link to the Past.
Ooh, those are two stingers, man. The only one I ever lost was Toe Jam and Earl 2 Panic on Funkotron, but I ordered another.
Are you sure lost it? I mean, lost it,
dude. That game and I go way back. I am so good. I'm so good at like dancing and beatboxing with those two guys. Oh,
well, I should someday offline. I should tell you guys the story of the guy in my dorm who borrowed my copy of Chrono Trigger in college and then disappeared for a term.
And then you got a bounty hunter.
And then I was like, I was ready to kill.
I can imagine.
It's like I'm just gonna like knock down the door to his room and just beat him to death, and he wasn't there.
Yeah, but yeah,
it's just terrible. But I got it back.
All right, let's move on. We're kind of dwelling here.
Memories, Nick. We're building memories. No, it's
dwelling here on nothing.
Nick's going on vacation.
Oh, that's true. But he's like,
he has no
none
time.
Of,
he
none of these games matter. Get to the real game, the one I made.
Jason has to tell us in a Walking Dead episode.
So I haven't played Spelunky and Diablo 3, but we've talked about those enough. Walking Dead episode 2. Alright, so I really can't wait for this whole series to wrap up and get to the end of it, and I'm sure we'll be doing a Beyond Co-op review for the whole entire thing. And I think, based off of what I've played so far, I already know what that article more or less is going to be, but Walking Dead, the first episode, is like the first game I've played in a really long time where I was totally engrossed in the story. Like, from the very beginning, I felt this was, you know, a character of much as my own creation as I possibly could. Like, I couldn't design the appearance, but, you know, the paper doll factor doesn't matter.
You were born a poor black man?
What?
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I didn't want to touch that one. So anyways, you know, while I couldn't, you know, customize the look of the character, that doesn't matter to me. Like, the personality was mine for choosing, like the decisions and everything like that. And the Walking Dead world is one where there's really nothing pleasant that, you know, in the entire thing. Like, there's just no good, pleasant ending or ways to come in. Like, in a lot of games, it's like you have that high road, high path. No, it's just one bad choice after another, and bad just in the sense of, well, you either do this and you kill one person, or you do this and you kill another person and maybe, you know, cause some other collateral damage. I mean, like, there's just never anything really good. The second episode... Sorry, go ahead.
I'm with you on Walking Dead. I think one of my favorite things about that game is that there's dialogue trees where saying nothing is actually a completely valid route to take.
And if you just sit there and play the silent hero, it's really odd because people still then just keep talking. But it's not like the other games where they give you that kind of option. It's not like people start calling you out on it. They just keep talking, and you're just kind of like, when you do talk,
it's the apocalypse, man. They're just happy that someone else is there to listen.
Well, the weird thing too is, like, when you do talk, that's the one jarring part of it, is that it's not like all of a sudden, you know, you have just like three or four things to say and that's it. If you say nothing during those scripted dialogue moments, you talk as if you've been talking the whole time. So that's the one part that doesn't quite sync up with like the rest of your dialogue options. But all that being said, for the episode 2 in specific, it starts off, there's a little bit of a jar with the way that it starts off, because not to be too spoilery, but so if you guys haven't played it yet or whatever, I'm not going to discuss specifics, but it starts 3 months after the end of the first one. And basically it just kind of jumps to a point where it's like, okay, this is the world, or this is what's going on with them now. And a lot of what happened in those 3 months is lightly glossed over. So it's a little bit of a, you know, you kind of feel like you missed out on part of it. But once it gets going, I mean, as it is kind of with the graphic novels themselves and with, you know, sort of good horror, is you can tell in some cases where just something bad is going to happen. You don't always know what it's going to be, but something bad is about to happen, or it's going to lead, you know, somewhere. And the fun part of it, or the exciting part of it is what you do when you get there. I mean, you can't avoid it. There's no way to kind of get out of those situations. It's just, in this situation, in this spot, what am I going to do? And the most interesting thing to me so far has been in this whole sort of game that's, you know, and world that's, what do you do to survive? And, you know, what kind of a person are you? Seeing how everyone else responds to things. And there's a little bit of a meta kind of factor to that when you see, okay, like, 60% of the other gamers chose this exact same choice as you, that, you know, given the lesser of two evils, seems like the better choice to make. And it's really interesting to see those stats at the end, to see kind of where your path and where your dialogue is going. So I definitely recommend it. I mean, like, for what's it up now, $20 for the whole thing? 25?
If you go right now, I think it's still, the season pass is still on sale for $15 if you get the PC version.
And that's absolutely worth it. I mean, like, it totally is.
I to add one more thing to it, I think, and especially now as a parent, I think the Walking Dead game does the best job of a child character in a game ever.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
There's...
Like, most of the time when a kid shows up in a video game, you're just like, go away. I don't want anything to do with you, because you're voiced by a programmer's kid, and all you do is serve to be, like, an escort mission and annoy me.
Which they have one of those. And, they have one of those kids to a degree.
Right, but Clementine is, like, totally believable as a character, and you actually, like, find yourself giving a crap, you know?
Yeah, she's...
It's not like children showing up in Mass Effect, for instance.
Right. Yeah, no, the characters are really sort of... There's some that just fall into those typical kind of tropes and stereotypes. Some are a little bit deeper and seem more fleshed out.
And some of them like robots.
It's very true. But anyways, yeah, $15, definitely recommend it, because 2 episodes in, I'm already waiting for the 3rd and 4th and... going to play through it once I get my sort of character done. I want to go through another time to see what other paths are out there, whatever, you know, what kind of conclusions are there to this whole thing.
You're going to accuse everyone of being a racist.
I did this
Or did you do it already?
It just kind of felt like, and again, it's one of those things that, like, when I was presented with the choices at that particular moment, I was like, that seems in character with what I've been playing as so far. But of course, then too, it's you know, that sort of, you feel later on like the chance for redemption, so you change up a little bit, maybe you do something a little bit different, and you present, you know, actions that you take towards one character change throughout the progression within just one episode. And someone that I was on the ends with at the start of episode two, I'm now kind of on the outs with, based off of what I felt was a better choice and what, you know, the more in line with my character's point of view. I'll put it that way.
Nice.
And you also hack off a guy's leg.
I picked it up on the Steam sale, and I immediately played the first episode. I turned off all the lights, turned off all my monitors except for the main one, and I couldn't stop. I just sat there and played through the whole thing. Yeah. And I'm totally excited, totally sold on it. And I knew I had to get in on it because all I've heard was nothing but good things, and this being, you know, a really, really nice modern take on the adventure genre. So
it's something I hope that it does really well, because I'd like to see more stories done like this. Like, I think there needs to be, this kind of presents a very valid way of guiding people through a story and not worrying so much about the game aspects, because there's very little game elements to it.
It's all talking.
Yeah, and that's fine. Like, you know, I don't mind those kinds of interactions when it's allowing me to kind of work with it the way that this game does. So
it works in its small doses. If it was a full 12-hour game or something like that, I think
it would definitely work. You'd be like, oh, okay, I guess I'm going to do this action sequence. Let's go. Okay, I'm going to talk to everybody. Let's go. Yeah, totally. Because it is episodic, it works.
Well, right,
because
it's just like, you know, getting the next comic when it's released, or picking up a trade paperback or something like that. You read those bursts of everything. And that's actually, I mean, I do that right now, is every couple months or so I buy the next two trade paperbacks of The Walking Dead and just, you know, flip all the way through them. And that does me for a real spell, right? And I feel this is kind of the same thing, is you can release these kind of story games as episodics and just let it, you know, roll for about every few months or so to let people get into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, screw all those other games. Yeah. Let's talk about the real game.
Yeah, so when I actually got to play, went back to Mass Effect 3, started working through that, but, it didn't take me long to go back and start playing my own game again.
Because you haven't had enough of it at this point, right?
So now you gotta walk us through, Nick, because now you're on the other side of the fence. You're totally, you know, it's out, it's done. You know, of course you can update it, but
and we're actually going to be pushing a patch. Hopefully
day one
tomorrow
DLC. This game is bullshit. No.
No, it's just tweaks and stuff. There's, you know, it's funny. Like, we actually found a pretty huge bug that nobody would even really notice, but so basically, a lot of our levels we do dynamic music.
Yeah.
Depending on how many enemies are on screen, it mixes in like up to 7 tracks of music and stuff. Well, we found out that it actually doesn't count the enemies correctly for the music stuff, so it hasn't been working. It actually hasn't worked for months, and I just never realized it. So the other day we're working, and Dave, the other guy that's working on it with, he goes, "Hey, do you know it always says we have 0 enemies in our music code?" I was like, "No." So it was kind of surprised that it actually, some of the levels, I always wondered why the music seems so soft, and that would be why.
But here's the real
only
question.
Doing, like, one track.
Did you list on like the whole things, the features and everything? I have to go back at the listing. Did you say dynamic music with the enemies? Because if you didn't, then you just admitted.
I think it is. I think it's in our fact sheet.
Because you could have released this now as a feature instead of a bug fix.
Yeah. So yeah, we have about, actually, I'd say there's like 10 or 11 things that we fixed or tweaked, and it's just like little things like popping up messages when in certain places, stuff like that. But yeah, it was kind of surreal just to have the game actually out there, and then Tom Olay from Evolve Media helped us put out like an official press release and stuff, so we started getting like review requests and stuff like that, and so I got to see the other side of the fence and case, and man, there are some shady websites out there.
I mean, you've been to
Miami.
There's some shady websites.
Johnny's video game blog.
Yeah, you know, Johnny game blog at blogspot.com.
In Soviet Russia. Yeah.
But, dude, your game is out. Like, yeah. That's awesome. That's crazy. You made a friggin' video game. And it's good.
There's been two... Yeah, well, thank you. There's been two reviews so far, like official reviews, and one was a video this guy put together. It was like 10 minutes, and he basically walked through the game, and he was explaining his take on it, and he just like got it, like he got everything that we put in there, and like the little nuances of things. So that was like really really cool.
Which guy is that?
You're welcome. No,
it's from a website called Pixelated Sausage. And he's real focused on indie games. He does these videos like every couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
He does a real good job. It's entertaining too. Like, it's not just like him talking over
nice.
It. You know, so I was real happy with that. And there was another one that a written review that kind of, it was from, XBLA ratings.
Nice.
So yeah, we sent out a bunch of review codes and stuff. I'm hoping this week get to see some more feedback and stuff. I want feedback. I just put a post on Co-Optimus today on the BSA thread, and I'm like, give me feedback. I want to hear, you know, what's working, what didn't work, you know, because we did betas and stuff. And
I'm going to go still, post on there as an anonymous user and complain about the music.
Yeah.
I haven't done my video review of it yet. It's going to be good, though. You'll see. One out of five.
I can't do a review of it because I worked on it. So
I can't do a review of it because I hate Nick.
Yeah. Well, Jason,
that means that really means you should do a review on it because then you can make it.
Saw it the earliest of anybody here. I don't even know if Mike really had a build at that point when I took it. What was that, MAGFest? That was like January.
Is it?
That was when we were just kind of doing like concepts and getting.
Is my destroy all button still there? Can I do that in the final code? Damn.
No, that's long.
Up, down,
long
down, code. Left, right, BA, start. That turns it on. Yeah, no.
No, that's the blood code.
I do think we're gonna add some
A B A C A B B.
Yeah, man. No, congratulations. That's such a wicked feat, and to be like, to have this awesome game and, you know, just see it through. It's been cool just listening to you talk about it and be like, oh, we added this and playing through every single build. It's kind of neat to see the final product and be like, oh yeah, this is great. And so
if I can ever pull him away from doing bug fixes and coding and stuff like that, you'll get to hear him talk about it even more, because I've been telling Nick for some time now I've wanted to talk and interview him and actually everyone who did the development, so him, Mike and Dave and Kat and everyone else who's been on the team there to do like I did with Dylan from Cadenza.
Yeah, those are good.
I mean, things have really calmed down. We're working on the PC version right now, and it's just like some minor things, nothing, it's not heavy duty like features coding, it's technical kind of stuff. I mean, my time is definitely freed up compared to how it was. I mean, it was pretty ridiculous for a while there.
No, that's nice.
No.
Now you can take all your riches and sip margaritas in the Bahamas.
Yeah. I don't know. The numbers so far, like, I don't even trust what they say. It's really low. I mean, overall right now, there's not much going on. But it's just estimates according to Microsoft. And right now, basically, it's 1-to-1 with how many times it's been rated in terms of purchases, which there's no way that's accurate.
Yeah, that seems weird.
There's no way that everybody that purchased the game also rated it. So
maybe. Have there just been 15 purchases? We'll like, from your friends?
Yeah. Well, that's like, I could count how many people I know have purchased the game, and it's probably more than the people that rated it at this point.
But, like, it's pretty high ranked on the indie games. Like, it's up there with
It was. It's going down right now. We need more 5-star ratings. Go buy it and give us 5 stars.
Yeah, or seriously, just do that. It's
you have to beat out. I made
best
a game
way
with zombies in it.
Yeah,
we'll just
at one
have
point,
to get
it. Was cool because we were like the 5th highest ranked game. I mean, at that point, we only had like 20 ratings, but it was pretty neat. I took a screenshot.
Nice. So everyone that's listening to this, give Nick your $240 and rate it 5 stars, because
Or space bucks.
Well, yeah, that actually holds true in this. Your Imperial credits, Shark credits. But yeah, that's awesome, Nick. It's so fun. And review forthcoming.
Cool. I'm actually. Have you, Locke? I know you have a lot of buddies you hang out with. Have you guys got the?
I haven't had a proper co-op session yet. Maybe I'll do a playthrough and see what we can run up.
And just turn on the second controller next to him and flying around two sticks on with both.
I'm doing the. I'm actually playing with all four controllers at once to see if the one man Char playthrough. See if I can do the survival.
Two hands, two feet. I'm actually playing with five controllers.
Oh, I see what you did there, Mike.
He uses his nose.
But, no, I, and I'll probably, you know, do a dubstep remix of the game. Just because.
We should do a let's play.
I think so. Just get as much exposure as we can. Why not, right?
Yeah. I mean, I have a couple month plan here for the game just to keep things rolling. We have some stuff we want to do. We want to put achievements in the game.
Nice.
Some things like that.
And then we get down to merchandising. Then you get your Blue Shield Alliance Lego. Then you're laughing.
Yeah.
Nice.
All good. But all right, let's move on. Talk about some other games. There's been a little bit of other news, and actually, a rumor finally got confirmed, and that's Assassin's Creed 3 is going to have a co-op mode. It's going to be called Wolfpack.
So they like Hangover.
Yeah. And, you know, not too much in terms of details on it, but you can imagine there'll be some...
You know what it sounded like to me, and this is me being extremely cynical?
You?
Is
cynical?
That they...
No.
But it sounds an awful lot like they just took the multiplayer mode and made the random mark an AI
NPC, yeah.
opponent and put everybody on one yep. team. And then just strapped on, like, a mechanic or two... that supported it, and it doesn't seem like it's actually going to be a substantial thing, but I'd like to be proven
what
wrong.
What they're doing, though, they have, I don't know how they're going to do it, unless they're going to surround them by guards or put them in hard-to-reach places, but with each sort of mission or wave, I don't like using the word wave because people... automatically think horde mode, and it's not that. It's you're getting different targets or multiple targets. It gets harder and increases in difficulty with each assassination. So I'm curious to see how they do that. Like, go kill this guy on a boat, or go kill this guy on the top of a tower.
And the thing is,
I'd like to see some stuff where it's like you have to split. So if there's four people on a team or whatever, you like split up into two groups and you each have to like time your assassination of a separate target.
Otherwise the other one. Yeah.
Like it's pretty easy to think of ways to do this, but it just seems like everybody goes after one person.
No, and I'd like to see it also where maybe they have somewhere it's planned. So, you know, you have one guy who's the distraction who goes in and like draws the guards away while another one acts as someone to pull the guy into a certain alley and, you know, execute it like Ocean's 11 style.
I think it's more like that. I think it is like that because they did mention that there could be more than one target and you have to communicate in order to get them done. Otherwise, you'll just mess it up. So
my like dream co-op game is a co-op version of like Hitman where like to accomplish the hit, it's like multiple stages and people have to work together, you know, and
mm-hmm.
Like you said, somebody can be a distraction, somebody can do this. Like there's different roles and different ways. It would almost be like a sandbox Hitman.
Can I be the lady in red?
Yeah, you're always my lady in red, Mike.
there's a really interesting game out there. I'll have to go look up the name of it, but it's still kind of in the early stages, but basically it's like Star Command, and one person's the captain, and then each other player is one of the helms, right? So someone's on communications, someone's on engineering, someone's...
Oh, yeah, I've heard... It's the... Yeah, crap, I can't remember what is that called?
I think...
I have a friend in Virginia who actually set that up.
Yeah. It seems really cool. Like I haven't played it yet, but it seems, like, really cool because the captain, you know, is issuing orders, but has no... can do nothing. Like, doesn't touch the keyboard and mouse. He tells, like, you know, engineering, bring that up so he can see things. He says, okay, do this, this, and this, while he's looking over at the other screens, because none of the other players can see the other screens. They can only see theirs. So while they, you know, if they fly into a combat situation, the captain has to be the one who's kind of issuing the orders to the different crew members, right? So everyone's sort of working together in this sort of ship environment. And there's something like that that I'd like to see done, kind of, Nick, like you were saying, in terms of executing a hit of someone's the, you know, the voice in the ear, right, who's kind of says, okay, this is happening, this is doing, mm-hmm. and is seeing what all the other players are seeing so they can communicate. That would be really cool.
What game is that?
that's announced.
It's like Bridge Commander done right.
That's announced today, Nick's next game that he's developing.
Ah, okay, good.
Yeah. I wish I had the bandwidth to do something like that. I would totally...
Well, you know, just do like, you know, the guy from Monaco and start building it and change the programming code 5 different times during the course of the project.
Yeah. So, all right, let's move on and let's talk Borderlands 2 because it's the only other really big piece of news we got. And,
yay, Borderlands!
Oh, we mow it.
So there was a new trailer and it will get that song stuck in your head. And there was a ton of previews. For it, and it unveiled some new features. There's a ranking system going to be in the game for the enemies. And let's see what else.
You get to dress your dolls up. Come on, guys.
No.
Yeah.
Don't scoff at that. That's wicked.
You get alternate costumes for your characters is that, pretty damn cool. Because it was something that everybody wanted out
like,
of the first
one. You're playing a Lilith as well? Oh, okay, we look the same. Great. Like...
Yeah, they said there's going to be more legendary loot. There'll be special keys for legendary loot that you'll have to find, so like more random drops and things like that in terms of obtaining that. So it sounds like Mike's going to be spending a lot of time with this game.
The thing that I really liked was actually the badass ranking. It's like an alternate leveling system outside of your character level that allows you to boost your stats to incredible levels because there's no level cap to it, so you can just keep... like cranking that number as high as you want it to go and just make yourself supremely overpowered.
Would that be kind of like your ranking in the Mass Effect multiplayer, where it's just like global across all your characters?
They said it was it goes across all your characters, yeah. So like you could start a fresh character that has like a 8,000% damage boost or something based on your badass ranking. Okay. Which that appeals to me greatly. Because there's... like nothing worked like in a game like Diablo's. Like I have a character who's decked out in like some of the best stuff you can get in Inferno mode, and then I drop down to my character who's, you know, on the second playthrough, and I'm just like, this is boring because I'm not doing all this damage. I'm so used to being like this invisible whirling death blender, and I merely kill everything with extreme prejudice, and it's just not as good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, more guns. I'm excited for that.
Well,
seriously.
Like about the badass system, and it's kind of, like, it's starting there, but I'd like to see it develop further is sort of like how Diablo has the named enemies, or they, you know, do something like that. It'd be awesome if your badass rank could be something like that, where it just kind of gives you certain titles and, you know, puts things, you know, so whatever your character name is, it now gets displayed as... Destroyer of Worlds.
As long as I can become super bad, I am okay with that idea.
I'll be rolling.
Now,
the bad
of course,
assist.
You have to come up with a name like Afro Dynamite, sweet. Black Dynamite.
I just want to joy puke my face off.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, Steam sales, summer sale started this week,
what have you bought?
I haven't. Well, I told you that I attempted to buy something, but I already owned it from a previous Steam sale.
That is the best when you forget.
That's the best part of any Steam sale.
So I was I own this.
Install.
Okay. What'd you try to buy?
You're like, fine, I'm installing it then. Fine, I'll play it.
I think it actually, I forget what the heck it was now. I think it was something I got from a Humble Bundle.
I think you told me it's Frozen now. Synapse.
That's right, Frozen Synapse, yeah.
Oh, I should get that co-op DLC for that. Done.
Did anybody pick up Arma 2 to check out
DayZ? I missed the daily deal, man. I missed it. I'm hoping it'll come back around.
So did I.
But
I haven't gotten anything on Steam. I've been out all weekend, so nothing for me.
Something I picked up that I can actually really recommend is Might and Magic Clash of Heroes. It's did you play Puzzle Quest?
Yes.
Do you remember how damn addictive Puzzle Quest was?
Yeah.
Yeah, Clash of Heroes is a better game than Puzzle Quest, and it's kind of
because the computer doesn't cheat.
The computer doesn't cheat, and it's actually a strategy game, so it's just great. And Cappy Games did the PC version. I guess they did all of them, but they're the people that did. If you remember how awesome the PlayStation 3 version of Critter Crunch looked,
like that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like the really beautiful hand-drawn animations, like that's kind of what Clash of Heroes looks like. It's a little more cartoony, but it's like super cool animation. Nice. And it's just fun.
Nice.
And it was $2 when I got it.
Oh,
cool.
I don't even want to say anything. I already have a friggin' paragraph of games I'm looking on my list from the last 3 days. Frick. Stupid. What am I doing? Why do I need every single Choplifter HD extra DLC chopper? Sure.
It's like my copy of Magicka I got at the Christmas sale where I got all the pieces of DLC and never played any of them.
I refuse. Magicka screwed me over. It's like, I bought the Christmas pack and they came with 3 DLCs and now there's like 87 pieces of DLC. I'm out.
Yeah.
Out on Magicka. So.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I also picked up Trine 2 because it was like $3.
Yep. Highly worth it.
I hadn't played that yet.
I don't know. Noteworthy stuff like Tropico looks awesome. Tropico 4.
I picked that up. I've had that, but I picked it up a while ago. I haven't even played it.
Oh, and Dear Esther is $2.50. So that's pretty sweet if you like weird narrative only games.
Picked up. Like I said, Legend of Grimrock, Trine 2, Vessel, a great little puzzle game. I bought a Tribes subscription thing.
I did that. No. Actually, that's true. I forgot.
No, here's a really good reason why, though. It was like, I'm going to play Tribes. I have played it like twice, but it gives you a permanent XP boost for the rest of your life, which is perfect for a grown-ass gamer who doesn't need to grind away. It's like, yes, I will give you your $7.50 to help me boost my levels. So I grabbed that.
Yeah.
But.
All right, let's see. Let's move on. We had a little bit of stuff to look at. New CCV went live, and it's actually been pretty popular. We're looking at... who's in your co-op crew? Who do you normally play with? And we've got some good community blogs going there on that.
The three of you are in mine.
Yeah, these guys. I don't know.
And Andrew.
I mostly just play with Andrew because he's the only one that plays at midnight to 2 in the morning. So, I don't know. It's a random bunch of people I met at the last website I wrote for, and mostly like. Mature people that, you know, have a good head on their shoulders that aren't, you know, don't use racial slurs or homophobic and stuff like that. I don't know. Rational people. It's funny, I actually don't game all that much with, like, friends in real life, like people close to me or people I hang out with. Whenever I do, it's mostly if we get together and do, like, local co-op stuff or, like, are playing on the arcade machine or, like, Rock Band, that sort of thing. But heavy, in terms of, like, heavy use, like, yeah, I've played with, like, you guys, Andrew, Buddy Sunflower, you guys know him, and a couple other guys. But, yeah, that's my crew. Not my wife. Ooh. Never my wife.
I also have a pretty expansive Diablo crew.
Is that bleeding over from your WoW days?
A lot of it bleeds over from my WoW days, but there's, like, a lot of my high school friends they only play PC games, so like whenever there's a big PC game, okay. I play with them a ton. And that's actually my Diablo crew.
That's actually
right now.
A good point about Diablo. Like, people I didn't even know liked video games are showing up on my list, and I'm like, what? I talk to you every day. Why? I didn't know you're playing this. It's like, oh yeah, I'm rocking a level 60 monk. No big deal. So
yeah,
but
ain't no thing.
All right. Let's wrap this thing up. And what do we got? We got apps. Apps everywhere. iOS, Android, Windows Phone 7.
Get them. Rate them. Apps. Yeah.
Apps. Sorry.
Your mom's got apps.
Split Reason. We still got a few of those. I think last month we didn't even sell any.
We're getting,
buy some.
Yeah, once those are out.
Yeah, we're getting low, though. There's not much choice. You got, like, I think they're all smalls left or something, probably.
Sweet.
So
buy them for your children.
And your children's children.
Buy them for your partners. Once those are sold out, getting the co-op thongs, those are coming in. The spankies. Co-op spanks, man. They're actually the four-legged ones, so you can have two in it at the same time.
I'm glad
Locke's not our marketing manager.
You guys just
Locke's just trying to buy some stuff for us.
Right. Well, our animal lineup hasn't even come out yet. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
We're prototyping that.
Well, yeah, currently. Mike, you were showing off that dog collar, actually. I remember you were using that before, so the
It's true.
All right, follow us on Twitter. We're Co-Optimist without the dash. You can leave us a voicemail, 646-926-6748. We haven't had a voicemail in a while, so give us a call. Tell us how you're doing. Tell us how we're doing. Yes.
Mike's got a dog collar.
And, also, download BSA.
Download BSA. It has the best box art on all of Xbox Live indie games.
It has the best...
Because it doesn't have an avatar on it.
It has the best dynamic music to enemy ratio on.
No,
not yet.
Not yet.
Soon, 1.1.
If you'd like to know how to find it, I'll put the 12-step process on how you navigate to it in the dashboard.
Oh my god!
Are we gonna copy that dude and make an indie game about how to find our game on indie games?
No. I'll just do a video walkthrough. Be like,
that'll be the co-op fact.
how to buy? It's just that's it.
All right, so this has been Co-op the Cast, episode 89 for Monday, July the 16th, 2012. Thank you for listening and watching. All four.
You four guys carry us through.
Bye bye.